Now we're holding on Samach Beis Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, if a person makes a neder that's to be in effect ad hakotzir until the harvest, or the, so kotzir, we learned before that in Lashon Kodesh you have different words for harvests of different kinds of crops. Kotzir means a harvest of grain. So which grain? The Mefarish, printed under Rashi's name, points out that barley matures and is harvested earlier than wheat. So ad shiyaskel on liktiv tzuchitin, then it means that the neder is in effect until people start harvesting their wheat, avoliktiv sa'odin, but not harvest of barley, because wheat harvest is more important. So we assume when a person says kotzer, unspecified, he means the wheat harvest, which is more important. But it really all depends on the place it was netted. Meaning, in other words, if you have, the Ran and the other Mephoshim explain, if you have a place where barley is their more important crop, and they use the word kotzer to refer to the barley harvest, then they'll go according to that, rather than the wheat harvest, because after all, with Nedarim, you go according to Loshim Neyot. Now, this Hakolafi Makom Nidre also means Im Hoya Bahar Bahar, Im Hoya Babika Babika. It also means that now the time of the harvest is going to depend on what kind of microclimate you live in, whether you live on a mountain or in a valley. In a valley, it gets warmer faster, therefore the harvest is going to be earlier. So if you made the neder when you're in the mountains, then it goes according to when the harvest is in the mountains. and if he was in the valley, then it goes according to the valley. Which means, as the Gemara is going to say, if you made the neder in one place and then you went and then you moved to a different place or you're located in a different place at the time of the harvest, then you go according to where you were at the time you made the neder. Continues the Mishnah. Adag Shamim, if you make a neder that you'll be also in something until the Gishamim, until the rains, or Adshi Yehu Agshamim, or the neder is formulated as until the rains will be. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the neder is in effect until it actually rains. So that's gonna be the machlokes. Adshi Terid Revia Shnia. Then he is usher, then the neder is in effect until the second revia falls. Revia is a word for the rain falls early in the year. remember in Eretz Yisrael and similar places that have that kind of climate, it rains only during part of the year. It rains beginning around Cheshvan time and then continues off and on until Nisan, and then it stops and there's no rain generally during the rest of the year. The first rains in the season are called the revia. The Ran explains the word rova is an Aramaic root that means to crouch down, to lie down, to crouch down, because the rain lies down, crouches down and onto the ground. It falls onto the ground and like lies there. In Tainis, which now we're going to be bringing in the Gemara, a piece from Masech to Tainis soon, Rashi has a different explanation that the word revia is also a word that means to mate, because the Gemara and Tainus over there says that metaphorically the husband is like the rain of the earth. It fertilizes the earth the same as a husband fertilizes his wife. So therefore, and the word revia is a word that means to mate, that means to have relations, and therefore that's another reason the rain is called revia. Anyway, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, there are different defined times when you can expect the first, second, and third revia to be. So now we're saying when the second revia comes, then his neder is over. You don't say, in other words, that by the word gishamim he meant the first time it rains. No, it has to be the second time it rains. For a couple of different reasons, one of them being that he used the Rashi elsewhere points out because he used the word gesham mim in plural, which suggests therefore the second one. Another point is because after the first rain, it's still, I mean, the, it has rained, but it's basically still dry out. The roads haven't yet turned muddy. Only after the second rain do they start getting muddy, and then people think of it as, okay, now it's the rainy season. So now he made a neder that he's also in something until the Gishamim, then it means until the Revia Shnia, until the second rainfall of the year. So Reb Shimon Gamliel. I remember Reb Shimon Gamliel says that the neder doesn't have to be in effect until the actual rain falls, but rather ad shiagias mana shoravia, just until the time of the revia comes, then already the neder is over. So even if the rain hasn't actually fallen yet, then still once the time of the second revia comes, and we're going to learn in the Gemara a few different opinions when that is. Then at that point his neder is over. The Ran explains the reason is because given that there's no fixed time, I mean, after all, sometimes the rains are early, sometimes they're late. So you can't say that he meant for his neder to be in effect, says Reb Shimon Gamliel, literally until it rains, because that would be an open-ended thing, which he never knows how long that might be. Rather, we assume that he means only until the expected time of the second rain. Continues the Mishnah. What if he makes a neder that such and such will be in effect until the rains stop? Then he's also until the end of Nisan Divrei Meir. That's what a mayor says. The rainy season is considered to be until the end of Nisan. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shiyagra Pesach, and Rabbi Yehuda says until Pesach is over. You actually have, in Masechta Tainis, when it talks about the times, when we say the same Talamot of the Bracha, and when we say Masha Baruch Moed HaGeshem, where it discusses over there that, we stop at the beginning of Pesach. We stop saying the same Talamot on Erev Pesach, and then the next weekday Tefillah that we say, Chol HaMoed, we're already saying the same Bracha. So that sort of relates to this point over here about the rainy season extending until the end of Pesach or until the end of Nisan. One point, though, being that, again, by Nedarim, you go according to Lashon Le'adam. There is an interesting idea also. The Yerushalmi has a line on it that the Chachamim wanted that part of every Yom Tov should have a tefillah of Tal in it. So therefore, they wanted to have that we start asking for Geshem only at the not just part, that most of the Yom Tov should be in a season of Tal. So therefore, the Chachamim set up that only at the end of the Sukkot season, only on Shmini Atzeres, do we start asking for rain. Previously, the entire Sukkot, we were still asking for Tal. And similarly, they set up that on the first day Pesach already we start asking for rain. So only a small part of the Yom Tov is still in the time of Geshem, because Tal is more of a sign of Bracha, and that's a good sign for the Yom Tov. So according to that, in other words, the idea would be that that fundamentally the time of the rain in Eretz Yisrael does last later. It does last until the end of Pesach, according to the Yehuda, or according to the end or the end of Nisan, even according to the Meir. But the Chachamim told us to stop asking for rain a little earlier than that because of a simin bracha associated with the Yom Tov. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a brisa. When we said earlier in the Mishnah that it depends where he made the neder, means, for example, hanoder adakayetz begolil. Suppose a person made a neder when he was in the Golil, in the mountainous northern parts of Eretz Yisrael, for example, Tzfas, Miron, whatever. He made a neder that such and such will be also to him until the kayets, where we learned previously that kayets means the fig harvesting season. The yorav la'amokim, later on he goes down, so during the summer he goes down to the valleys where the fig harvesting season is over earlier because it's hotter over there. Afapishi gia kayets ba'amokim, well then even when the kayets has arrived in the valleys, so even though the fig harvesting season has started there already, also ad shiyagia kayetz begolil, he's still going to be also until the fig harvesting season begins in the Golil, because that was where he made the net. So the same thing with other kinds of things. The same thing when we said in the Mishnah, Ada Kotzer means the same kind of thing, that if he made a neder until the harvest of grain, then he'd go according to where he made the neder at the time. We said Ada Gshamim or Adji Yug Gshamim. If the person says the neder, then I'll be also in something until the rains, or until the rains are, then it's agitated Revia Shnia. Then we said the neder is in effect until the second Revia, until the second rainfall of the season. Reb Shimon Gamliel, and we said Reb Shimon Gamliel says, it doesn't have to be until the actual rainfall, just until the expected time of it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Machlokas Dama Ada Gisham. That Machlokas would be only if he says, if he uses the Lashon Ada Gishamim, like it said in the Mishnah. Where, in other words, there, so the Chachamim are going to take the view that by using the word Gishamim, he means to actually, as opposed to, he could have said Ada Geshem, then it means he wants the neder to be in effect until the rains actually fall. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying there's no difference. Avol Omer Ada Geshem, but if he only says that the neder should be in effect until Geshem, then Ad Zman Geshamim Kamar, then definitely even the Chachamim are going to agree that it means only until the expected time of the rains, which means the Chachamim then are going to agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel that it'll be just until the expected scheduled time. And the Ran goes into a bit of an extended discussion about this. One thing is that the Ran had made a point earlier that when actually the Mishnah already had mentioned it, and the Ran explained it in more detail, that when you have something where the dates of it are not known, in the case of for example, we had a distinction previously between Pesach, where you know when it begins and you know when it ends, versus, for example, we said the harvest, where you never know. Different people start their harvests at different times, and every year it's a little bit different. And also the length of the harvest also depends on many individual factors. So because you have something that is where the time of it is not fixed, then therefore the Chachamim are going to agree that you can't say that he's osur until it actually happens, because then that would be an open-ended neder, and we don't assume that he's making that. So therefore that would be then the Chachamim would agree that you just go according to a certain defined date, which is when we expect that people will, that the rain will be falling. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, so the Chachamim say, when he says Gishamim, then it means he's obviously meaning to add something, and therefore therefore we say he's also until the rain actually falls, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel says that people don't bother with that kind of distinction. And then the Ran points out a further distinction between that. You have things where at least you know when it can be expected to begin. We're going to talk about soon with the rainfall. In a normal year, you can expect the rain in Eretz Yisrael is going to begin by a certain time. You just don't know how long it's going to last. As opposed to, for example, the harvest, even the beginning of it, you don't know, because different people, depending on the microclimate, depending on all kinds of factors, you have some people do their harvests early, some late, so they don't even know the beginning date, as opposed to with Gishamim, where at least you know within a couple of days, one way or the other, the beginning date, you just don't know the ending. The Gemara continues basically. I have a contradiction then. So you're telling me, then, that Reb Zera, that there's a difference between whether he says Ad HaGeshem or Ad HaGeshamim. Where Ad HaGeshem, you're saying the Chachamim are going to agree, doesn't mean until the actual rainfall. It just means until the expected time of the rain. And then you have it. He says Ad HaGeshamim, where the Chachamim are saying that it means until the actual rain, and Reb Shimon Gamliel saying that one also means only until the expected time. Well, a Braisa says, what is the normal time of the revia, of the first few rains of the season? Habachira begimel, the first one, the beginning, the first revia is begimel, is on the third of Cheshvan. Beninis b'shiva, the average one, the middle one is the seventh. Afila be'esrim ha'shloisha, and the later one is on the 23rd, on the side of here, it brings a girsa, and Tosfos also has it this way, that's really supposed to be the Shiva also, on the 17th, divrei Reb Meir. That's what Reb Meir says. So Reb Meir is saying, in other words, that usually, during Cheshvan, you have three defined rainfalls, a few days apart, and the times for them, respectively, are the 3rd, the 7th, and the 17th. Those are the normal scheduled times for them. Obviously, it's going to vary a little bit from year to year, but basically, that's what it's going to be. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm b'shiva, or b'shiva also b'esrim shloisha. Rabbi Yehuda says a little later, they're going to be the 7th, the 17th, and the 23rd of Cheshvan. Rabbi Yossi, I'm b'shiva also b'esrim shloisha, over Chodesh Kislev. Rabbi Yossi said even later, the 17th of Cheshvan, the 23rd of Cheshvan, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev are going to be the three times. V'chein hoyer Rav Yosi Omer, and Rav Yosi also used to say in that connection, now we know in the Masechta Tainis, which we learned about a year ago, it talks about in great detail the whole matter of if there's no rain in Eretz Yisrael or in other countries like it, then you start fasting and you start davening and then you have public fasts and so forth for rain. So the Mishnah is described over there. The first thing that happens is when there's a lack of rainfall, the first thing that starts happening is the Yechidim start fasting private fasts. Yechidim means Tamid Chachamim. It means among the Tamid Chachamim themselves. Maybe it means ones that are noteworthy for their Mice and Tovim, is how the Rosh explains it. Whatever the case, the point is, they start that on their own. There's a certain point when they start fasting, these fasts on their own, and then, if no rain falls, then Beis Din starts being gozer tanius on the public. Sort of Yossi says, in keeping with his view that the latest time for the Revi'ah is Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Eina Yechidim Mis'anin Av She'Yavir Rosh Chodesh Kislev, that the Yechidim, even the Yechidim, shouldn't start fasting and davening extra for rain until Rosh Chodesh Kislev. If no rain has fallen by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, where that's the latest that you can ever expect the Revi'ah to start being, then the Yechidim should fast Monday, Thursday, and Monday, and if that still doesn't help, and rain hasn't fallen, then Beis Din starts being gozer on the tzibur. So thus far the Braisa. Now, we have three different opinions what the times for the rains are. When is Revi'ah Rishona, when is Shnia, when is Shlishis? Now, why do we need to know that? The Braisa is not just there to give us weather information. So, V'amrinan Allah, so we say on that in the Gemara in Tainis, V'shleima Revi'ah Rishona, I understand why it's important to know when the Revi'ah Rishona is. That would be Lishol. The Nafkimina of it, Lahalacha, is when do you start asking for rain? When do you start saying the same Talamotar? So according to Rav Meir, you should be starting to say the same Talamotar on Gimel Cheshvin, according to Rav Yehuda on Zion Cheshvin, which is how we do, and according to Rav Yossi on the 17th of Cheshvin. Shlishis lehisanis, and the relevance of knowing when the third one is that's when people should start fasting. So according to Rav Yehuda, it would be on the 17th. According to Rav Meir, the 17th. According to Rav Yehuda, the 23rd. According to Rav Yossi, Rosh Chodesh Kislev. El shnei lemai, but why is it relevant for us to know when the second one is? Why did the Braisa bother to mention it? The Omer Rav Zera lenoider, and Rav Zera answers the nafkamina of it is when a person makes a neder. A person makes a neder. So we said in our Mishnah is also until Revi'ah Shnia. So therefore we have to know when is that date. V'amrinan Allah, and we say further on that in the Gemara in Tainus, Kiman Ozla Hodatanya. Which of the three opinions does the following Braisa go according to? When we had Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi, each with their opinion, when the various Revi'ahs are. So now we have another Braisa that says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Gishomim Sheyodu Shiva Yomim Zachazeh, when you have rain falling for 7 days straight, after Monet and Revi'ah Rishon Roshniah, you're able to count them as both the first and the second Revi'ah. So which Tana do we find that would say that the Revi'ah Rishona and Shnia are a week apart? That would be Kaman Rav Yossi. Necessarily, that would have to be like Rav Yossi. Because if we look back at the dates that we said before, Rav Meir says the first Revi'ah is on the 3rd, the second is on the 7th. That's less than a week apart. So according to him, there's no reason to have rain for 7 days straight and count it as Revi'ah Rishona and Shnia. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the other way around. You have the first one is on the 7th, the second is on the 17th, so that's 10 days apart, too far apart. So it has to be according to Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yossi puts the first two on the 17th and the 23rd, which are a week apart, counting inclusively. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, that's 7 days altogether. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is informing us that if you have a rain that starts falling on the 17th and rains continuously through the 23rd, then that will count as both the first and the second Revi'ah. So now the Ram says that Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying according to the Chachamim. He'd be saying, look, myself, as far as Nedarim, I don't think that it goes according to when the rain actually falls. I say, like in the Mishnah, that it's just according to the expected time. So according to me, it doesn't matter whether it rained for a week straight from Yud Zayin to Chaf Gimel Cheshvan. Either way, comes Zion Cheshbon according to the mayor, or your Zion according to the Yehuda, or Chaf Gimel according to the Yossi, then his neder is going to be over. But you Chachamim, you're saying that you have to have actual rainfall in order for the neder to no longer be in effect. So look, at least you should agree with me that if you have a rainfall that ran straight through from the time of Revi'a Rishona until the second, then it should be considered already the Revi'a Shnia, and the neder is over. So what's the question then? The Ran explains, the Gemara assumes at this point that when the person makes the neder, he probably said the word Ad HaGeshem, because that would be the normal way of doing it. More usually, a person is going to say Ad HaGeshem rather than Ad HaGeshami. Well, Reb Zeira is saying that if he says Ad HaGeshem, then both the Chachamim and Reb Shimon Gamliel are going to be saying that it's only until the scheduled time of the rain, not until it actually rains. So in that case, then, what does Reb Shimon Gamliel need to point out anything about Revi'a Shnia being when the end of a rainfall that lasted for a week? According to both him and the Chachamim, there'd be no need for it because the neder anyway is going to be over come the time of the Revi'a Shnia. That's how the Ran explains the question. The Rosh explains it a little bit differently. He says that, the Braisa is not distinguishing between whether he said Ad HaGeshem or Ad HaGeshamim. So what are you telling us, Reb Zeira, that there's a distinction between them, where in one case, Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim will argue, and in the other case, they won't. The Braisa is not making any distinction. So regardless, whether he said Ad HaGeshem or he said Ad HaGeshamim, either way, it sounds like the same din would apply with Reb Shimon Gamliel. So now, again, Reb Shimon Gamliel himself doesn't care about whether it actually rained in terms of the nether, but he's saying to the Chachamim, you who care about when it actually rains, you should agree that at this point it's considered a Revi'a Shnia. Well, the fact that the Braisa makes no such distinction seems to imply that the Chachamim would say, that the Chachamim would disagree whether he said Ad HaGeshem or Ad HaGeshem, and either way they would say it's until the rain actually falls. So, and the answer is, Hahuda Amar Ad HaGeshamim. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to say that the Braisa is, in fact, talking about the case where he said Ad HaGeshamim, where we said that, yes, then the Chachamim and Reb Shimon Gamliel will argue about whether the neder is in effect until it actually rains the Revi'a Shnia, or until the time of the Revi'a Shnia. So, yeah, even though we asked on the face of it, the Braisa is not making any such distinction, and on the face of it, usually people say Ad HaGeshem, nevertheless, we have to assume that this Braisa is talking about where he said Ad HaGeshem. Tosfos, by the way, points out another point as well. Now, the Ran is saying that Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying this according to the view of the Chacham, that he's saying, I myself don't care in terms of the neder whether it actually rains or not. I say we go according to the actual, to the expected time of the rains. But Tosfos points out there's another point as well. Reb Shimon Gamliel doesn't only have to be talking according to the Chachamim's opinion. He can be referring to another din as well. Now, there is a din that the Gemara tells us in Tainis and also in Bava Kamma that there's a Takanas Chachamim that once there comes a certain time of the year, a certain season of the year, then you're allowed to walk through paths. You're allowed to walk on paths through other people's fields. Because at that point the fields are not yet they're not yet being planted, or they've only just been planted, and therefore paths that exist through the fields are available for people to use as shortcuts. And when would that be? The Gemara tells us that you're allowed to until the second Revi'a. After that, people are already planting their fields, and therefore you're going to damage the crops. So there also it becomes important to know when Revi'a Shnia is. And there, obviously, it's not just going to be a date on the calendar. There, it's not just going to be a date on the calendar, of course, because the relevance of it is, are the fields actually wet and muddy and being planted and so forth? So then, Reb Shimon Gamliel would be saying that for that purpose, we can count Revi'a Shnia as being, if there's been rainfall for a week straight, from the 17th to the 23rd, according to Reb Yossi, then that would be enough to count as Revi'a Shnia, and then for that din to kick in. So according to Tosfos, you don't have to say that Reb Shimon Gamliel's statement here in the Braisa is only according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah. He can be talking about a din which he would agree to as well, a Takanas Chachamim. The Gemara tells us over there in Bava Kamma that it comes from Shlomo HaMelech, that you're allowed to walk, you're allowed to take shortcuts through people's fields until Revi Yashnia, so now it becomes important to know when Revi Yashnia is. And again, Shimon Gamliel is saying, for that purpose, it's obviously not just a calendar date. For that purpose, it's when it actually, when the rain actually falls. So he's informing us that if you have rainfall for a week straight from the time of Revi Rishona until Revi Yashnia, then it already counts as Revi Yashnia. And Revi Yashnia is the second rainfall of the year. Yeah, we're holding Samach Gimel Amar Aleph. Mishnah says, Koinam Yayin She'eni Toyim Lashona. Suppose a person makes a neder, a koinam, that wine will be also, that I won't taste wine for a year. And a year, when he says lashana, means this year. In fact, the Meiri explains that really the word would be lashana, which therefore is the equivalent of saying lehashana, meaning for this year. With that said, there will be shown him who have the girsa hashana, this year. Either way, that's what it means. So he made the neder that will be in effect for this year. So then, this Abra Hashana, so now if it becomes an Ibrayar, Osir Bach will be Ibura, then he's also not only in the, he's also in the entire year, also in the leap months. So now, the Ran discusses over here, now we learned previously in the Perek, you had a case where a person made a Neder, where a person made a Neder, that he'll be also in something for this year, and he said that he's also for the entire year, in, up till but not including the following Rosh Hashanah. So the Ran had discussed over there at the beginning of the parak that two possibilities: are we talking about that he made the neder on Rosh Hashanah itself, and the chiddush was therefore his neder is in effect not just for 12 months, which would bring him to the end of Av, but actually for the 12 months ending. But actually for the entire year, ending with the end of Elul. And then the Rana discussed the possibility that maybe it means that actually he made the neder sometime in the middle of the year. And the point is that, the point is just the chiddush is that Rosh Hashanah belongs to the next year, but he's also in the entire year up to and including Choftes Elul. The Rana said that didn't make it true, but there's no chiddush in it. So that wouldn't be what the Mishnah is saying. So now, in our Mishnah, the Rana says that we're talking about again, he made the neder at the beginning of the year. Since he used the word Hashana, which means this year, then it means the entire calendar year. So it means if it's an Ibra year, then it's going to include the leap month. On the other hand, then if he said Shana Achas, then the Ran says then it would mean only 12 months because most years are 12 months. And the reason is this is always quoting from the Rashba. Actually, he's quoting this point. That the reason is because after all, when he says a neder that I won't do something for a year, it doesn't have to mean this year, Dafka. Here, where he said Hashana means this year, but in a case where he said earlier, he said Shonazu at the beginning of the paragraph would also be like that. But when he just says that I won't do it for a year, it doesn't have to be this year. Could conceivably be a different year. He'd be over on Baltacha if he does, but it's still conceivably he could fulfill it by doing it a different year. And a different year is not a leap year, so therefore he could get away with 12 months. And then he goes on to bring at some length something from the Rashba who proves from a din in the Gemara and Erchin involving Bote or Echoima that we say that the Ibra month, generally speaking, doesn't count. So the Ran, after he brings the whole thing from the Rashba, he says, I disagree. Or Mishnah over here is saying that Or Mishnah and other things that he brought in that connection with the din of renting a property and different kinds of things that when a person makes a neder and he as long as he made it before the Chodesh Iber or if he rents out a place before the Chodesh Iber, then in fact not like the Rashba that's going to be only 12 months, then in fact it's going to be 13 months. So that's what it is then. So when the Mishnah is saying Nisabra Shana Osubovi Bura, it wouldn't only have to be where he made the neder on Rosh Hashanah, it could be he made the neder any time during the year, as long as he made it before Adar, then yes, it's going to be in effect for the 13 months for the extra Adar as well as the other 12 months of the year. Continues the Mishnah. Ad Rosh Adar, what if a person makes a neder that he will be also in something until the beginning of Adar? Then what if it's a leap year? Then Ad Rosh Adar Rishon, then he's also only until the beginning of Adar Rishon. On the other hand, Ad Soif Adar, but if he makes the neder until the end of Adar, then Ad Soif Adar Rishon, then it would also be until the end of Adar Rishon, because as the Gemara is going to discuss, the Tana of our Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to end up saying, is Reb Meir, holds that Adar Rishon is the primary Adar. With that said, you have a different Girsa that a number of Rishonim have, including the Rambam. The Ran also brings it, although he disagrees with it, that says that the correct Girsa should be outside Adar Hasheni, that he'd be also until the end of the second Adar. Because we would say, according to that, the idea would be that when he says until the end of Adar, means until the end of any time in the year that can be called Adar, and Adar Sheni, after all, bears the name Adar as well. In effect, you consider, according to that, as though the two Adars were one long month. So the Gemara says, Alma Stoma de Adar Kama Rishinahu. Now, we see from the last part of the Mishnah that when a person says Adar by default, he means the first Adar. Therefore, we said that if he makes a neder until the beginning of Adar, then he's also only until the beginning of Adar Aleph. Well, Lema Masnissin, Rav Yehudi. Well, would we have to say, therefore, that our Mishnah would be only according to Rav Yehuda, which we would rather say that a Stam Mishnah goes according to everybody. The Tanya, Adar Harishin, Kos of Adar Harishin, if you're writing a Shtar, and if you're writing the Shtar during the first Adar, then you write explicitly Adar Harishin, Adar Sheni, Kos of Adar Stam, Divid Ameir. But so the Meir is saying, if it's during the first Adar, you write Adar Harishin. If it's during the second Adar, you just write plain Adar, and that's it. You don't have to write Adar Sheni. Because according to the Meir, the main Adar is the second one. So therefore, you just write Adar, unspecified, and we know it means Adar Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Adar Rishon Kos of Stam, Adar Sheni Kos of Tinyan. Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around. In Adar Rishon, you would write Stam Adar without saying whether it's Rishon or Sheni. And in Adar Sheni, you would write Tinyan, which is the Aramaic word for second, meaning you're writing second Adar. So we see that Rabbi Meir holds, apparently, that the first Adar, that the second Adar is the primary one. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the first Adar is the primary one. So when our Mishnah says that if a person makes a neder until the beginning of Adar, then he's also until the end of Adar Rishon, then he's also until the beginning of Adar Rishon. And if he makes a neder until the end of Adar, then according to the Girsa we have in front of us in the Mishnah, then he's also until the end of Adar Rishon. That would seem to be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Abaya, Afilu Tamer Meir, but Abaya says no. You could say that our Mishnah does go according to the Meir as well, because the difference would be Hodi Yoda, the Ma'abashat Shata, Hodla Yoda. It depends. At the time when he made his neder, did he know that it's going to be a leap year? So if he knew at the time when he made the neder, then you could say that Meir would say that the primary Adar is Adar Sheni, therefore he'd be also until the beginning or end, as the case may be, of Adar Sheni. As opposed to the Mishnah is talking about where he didn't know at the time of his neder that it's going to be an Ibo Yor at all. So the Ran explains, according to the two different Girsos, if you say that when the flow of the Gemara would so far would be as follows. If we say that the Girsa in the Mishnah is that when he says till the end of Adar, he's also till the beginning of Adar Rishon, then we would say that only according to the Yehuda would we say that it would be only according to the end of the first Adar, according to the Meir it ought to be till the end of the second Adar. Then we're saying, that even the Meir would agree when he didn't know at the time of his neder that it's going to be an Ibuyar, then we're going to only hold him till the end of the first Adar. Then according to the second Girsa, according to the Rambam's Girsa, the vote would be that it seems as though the Tana is considering both Adars to be one long month of 60 days. So then, on the face of it, that would be only according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the answer is that, and in fact, the Ram says that, yeah, if in fact the Shtar was being written in Adar Sheni, he could conceivably write, instead of writing the 10th of Adar Sheni, he could write the 40th of Adar Rishon. But if he's going to write Adar Sheni, then he writes Adar Sheni. On the face of it, though, it wouldn't go like the Meir. And the answer is that no, even according to the Meir, you would say that there's a difference whether he knew at the time of the neder that it's going to be a leap year or not. If he knew at the time, then we can say that he meant to aser himself until the end of second Adar, because according to the Meir, second Adar is the primary one. Whereas if he didn't know, then we could say he thought there was only going to be one Adar that year, and therefore he's also only until the end of the first Adar. And the Gemara says, Vaha Tanya, indeed we learn a Braisa that bears this out, that there is this difference whether he knew or not. Because a Braisa says, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, if a person makes a neder that I'll be also in something, that I'll be also in something until Rosh Chodesh Adar, then Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, then he's also until Rosh Chodesh of first Adar. But if it was a leap year, then Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Hasheni. Then the Braisa says he's also until Rosh Chodesh Adar Hasheni. Well, what does that mean? We're saying that the Braisa is saying if it was a Shonim Oberes, Miklal the Reisha Loib Lavum Oberes Haskinan. What would that mean? Does the beginning of the Braisa talk about when it wasn't an Ibur year? Then according to it's mentioning Adar Hadishin, implying that there's two Adars. So both parts of the Braisa necessarily have to be talking about where it's an Ibur year. Where it's an Ibur year. So why is the Braisa all of a sudden in the middle using the expression in Hoysa Shonim Oberes? So that would prove that the Braisa is making the distinction. One is talking about where he knew the Sefer would be talking about where he knew in advance that it's going to be a leap year. Therefore, when he said until Adar, until the beginning of Adar, until Rosh Chodesh Adar would be till Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and the first part of the Braisa would be talking about where he didn't know, where therefore we only make him chayiv in the neder until Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. So who is the halacha like? So the Ran says we have a general rule that when we have a machlokas Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, then the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The result would be the halacha would be like Rabbi Yehuda, that the first Adar is the primary one. Well, therefore, that would mean, therefore, that when it comes to shtaris, that yeah, in first Adar you would write plain Adar, and in second Adar you would write Adar Sheni. And therefore, the Ran says if you're in Adar Sheni and you wrote Adar, then the shtar would be possible. On the other hand, the Rambam paskins apparently like the Meir. The Rambam paskins that the Rambam has his different girsa than the Ran anyway. He says that if he says until the end of Adar, then he's also until the end of Adar Sheni. The Kesef Mishnah explains over there that the Rambam is paskining like Rav Meir because the Gemara is trying to make our Mishnah go according to Rav Meir. And therefore, that would mean we have a Stam Mishnah over here, and therefore that the result would be that the halacha would be like it. So the result would be the other way around, that Adar Sheni is the primary Adar and Adar Rishon is the first one. Tosfos also points out there are a number of things where we can demonstrate practically that there's a number of ways in which Adar Sheni really is the primary Adar. First of all, Adar is normally 29 days in a regular year, and in a leap year, which Adar is 29 days? The second one, the first one, is 30 days. That shows that the first Adar is really something that was added extra to the year. Also, for example, when do we celebrate Purim? In second Adar, not in first Adar. So those are proofs that, in other words, that after all, we do in practice follow Rav Meir and say that the second Adar is primary. In Shulchan Aruch, this comes up in different areas of halacha. Besides for Nedarim, of course, it does come up in the halachas of writing Shtaris. It also comes up in the halachas of writing Gittin. It comes up also in the halachas of when does a boy become Bar Mitzvah. So you have, in most places in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber brings both opinions, both the Rambam's and the Ran's opinion about who the halacha is like. When it comes to Gittin, he says that you should write clearly Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni respectively. But then if you only wrote Adar plain in Adar Rishon and B'dievet, it's fine. The Nosa Kalim explained over there that the Mechaber figured that it's one thing in things daraisa, like nedarim, you have to be machmer. A get, of course, is daraisa, but the concept of writing the get, of writing the date in a get, and that the get can't be predated, is only derabanan. So therefore, we don't have to be choshesh for the Rambam's day over there, and that's why the mechaber doesn't bring it. An interesting discussion that comes out of all of this, which Adar is the primary one, comes again when a boy becomes Bar Mitzvah or a girl becomes Bas Mitzvah. If they were born in Adar in a regular year and now their Bar or Bas Mitzvah comes out in Adar in a leap year, which Adar do they become Bar Mitzvah in? So pretty much all the poskim say that they become Bar or Bas Mitzvah in Adar Sheni. There are a couple of Rishonim who learn that it would actually be an Adar Rishon, but the accepted halacha is an Adar Sheni. You even have an interesting, even though, so if they were born, so here's the thing. So you have an interesting point. if a boy was born in Adar Rishon and then his bar mitzvah year also comes out, there's also two others, most of the poskim say that then he, for sure, he becomes bar mitzvah in Adar Rishon. That's fine. He was born in Adar Rishon, so therefore there's no reason to push him to Adar Sheni. The Magen Avraham on Shulchan Aruch actually disagrees with that and says no matter what, his birthday is always going to be in Adar Sheni. Pretty much everybody else disagrees with him, and they bring various proofs against him, and Lamaisa, the halacha is not accepted like that. So the accepted halacha is that if a boy was born in plain Adar, in a regular year, when there's only one Adar, and now his bar mitzvah is in a leap year, then his bar mitzvah is in Adar Sheni, because for that purpose also we follow the Rambam's Shitta and say that the second Adar is really the primary one. On the other hand, if he was born in Adar Aleph, and his bar mitzvah is also in a leap year, then his bar mitzvah will in fact be in Adar Aleph, not like the Magen Avraham. Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Koinam Yayin She'eni Toyim Ad She'ehei HaPesach. Rabbi Yehuda says, that if a person makes a neder, a koinam, that I won't taste wine until Pesach is. Now, we learned previously in our perek that when you say ad sheyeheya Pesach means until Pesach is over. However, over here, he's asking himself on wine, says Rabbi Yehuda, lo niskavenze el ad leo Pesach. We can assume that he meant to ask himself only until the night of Pesach, only until the Seder night, which is ad shosh, derech ne'adam, lushpes yayin, which is the time when people normally drink wine. In other words, we shouldn't assume that he wanted to aser himself in drinking the wine that you drink by the Seder. So even though the Lashon of his neder ad sheyeheya Pesach implies that he's also until the end of Pesach, nevertheless, in this case, we go according to an umdana, we go according to a reasonable assumption that he meant to aser himself only until Pesach. We learned earlier a Stam Mishnah that said that if he says Ad Sheyeheya Pesach is also until the end of Pesach. So what is it then? So the Ran discusses further down that is Rabbi Yehuda necessarily disagreeing with the Chachamim and saying that we can follow this Udana even though on the face of it the Lashon of his neder implied otherwise? In that case, would the halacha be like Rabbi Yehuda?
The word ad is always inclusive.
No, but when he says ad sheyehei, no, the word ad could mean inclusive or exclusive. But we learned earlier in the parak that when he says ad sheyehei Pesach, as long as Pesach is, then it means as long as Pesach exists. In other words, if he just said ad haPesach, then he said, then we had a machlokes tanoim earlier in the parak, whether it would mean till the beginning or the end of Pesach. Oh no, actually we said at the beginning of the parak that no, he said ad sheyehei, if he just said ad haPesach, he would in fact be also only until the beginning of Pesach. Everybody would agree with that. On the other hand, if he said ad sheyehei, then we say he'd be also till the end. When he said ad pnei Pesach, we had on Daf Samach at the beginning of the parak, if he said ad pnei Pesach, until the face of Pesach, then we had a machlokes whether he means till the beginning of Pesach or till the end of Pesach. But now Rabbi Yehuda is coming in and saying that when he makes a neder against wine, he's also only until the beginning of Pesach. So one possibility, then, so the Ran brings one possibility, is that Ramban says, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Chachamim before, and therefore the halacha can't be like him. The halacha would be like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, that he's going to be also for the entire Pesach, and if he wants to drink wine by the Sedarim, he's going to have to be matur neder. On the other hand, he brings from the Ra'ah, who says that no, the fact is, we have a group of dinim in our Mishnah, which everybody agrees to. So therefore, we should assume that this is something that all the Chachamim agree to. We would make a distinction between whether he made a neder against something else versus he made a neder about wine. So the earlier Mishnah, when it says that he makes a neder, ad sheyeheya Pesach, he's going to be also, until Pesach is over, is he made a neder about something else that he won't eat it. But wine, since he has a mitzvah of drinking wine by the Sedarim, we're going to assume that he meant that even the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Yehuda, maybe that his neder would be in effect only until the beginning of Pesach, and then by the Sedarim he'll be able to drink wine.
You're not allowed to ask him what he meant.
Even if you ask him what he meant, first of all, there could be where he says, "I forgot what I meant." Second of all, also, once he made the neder, we say stam nedarim lahachmir. We say that when we have a loshen with a neder that could be interpreted one way or the other. The fact is, it's not even that it could be interpreted one way or the other. The fact is, ad sheyeheya Pesach does normally mean until the end of Pesach. only in this case is Rabbi Yehuda saying that maybe we would make an exception. So the question is, do we in fact make that exception? Rabbi Yehuda is saying that. Again, according to the Ramban, the Chachamim would disagree with him and the Halacha would have to be like the Chachamim. According to the Ra'ah, the Chachamim might agree that he's making a neder about wine is different than a neder about other things. Similarly, suppose a person says a neder that I won't eat meat until the tsoim is, the tsoim being, tsoim is a fast, so unspecified, it means the fast of Yom Kippur. So on the face of it, it means that he's asking himself to eat meat until the end of Yom Kippur, because again, ad shehei would mean as long as the fast is in effect. But no, says Rabbi Yehuda, ena also ela leilei tzoim, he's only also until the night before, the evening, the afternoon before the fast. Because it only means to include the time up until when people normally eat meat. Again, people normally eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur, to prepare for the fast. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda again is saying that we do an umdana, we figure that when he said the Lashon, ad shehei atzoim, he really, when it comes to meat, at least, he only meant that it should be in effect until the beginning, until before Yom Kippur. And here the Ram says there's a bigger chiddush in it. In the first one, we're saying that he's going to be usher up until the actual Seder, which takes place on Pesach night. Whereas here we're talking that he's even going to be mutter. Not only are we saying that his neder is not in effect until the end of Yom Kippur, we're not even saying it's in effect until the beginning of Yom Kippur. It expires, says Rabbi Yehuda, on Erev Yom Kippur when it comes the time when people normally eat their sodam of sekas and eat meat as part of it. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi b'noi omer. Rabbi Yosi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, goes further and he says similarly. Konam shum shani toyim. If a person makes a neder that I won't eat garlic. Then Shabbos, he makes a neder. I won't eat garlic until Shabbos is, where again adjitahei ought to imply until the end of Shabbos. No, ain't also elad leila Shabbos. He's only also until Friday night. Because again, we can say he meant only the time up till when people normally eat garlic. It's a takana of Ezra to eat garlic on Friday night. The Gemara mentions Baba Kama because it's Marba Hazera. It increases the man's fertility, and therefore, since especially we learned in Ksubas that Tamar Chachamim, they're oina with their wives on Friday night, so therefore Ezra and even regular people, they have more time for it Friday night because they're not working, so therefore Ezra made a takana that they should eat garlic then in order to increase his fertility. So we learned earlier in the Masechti even that if a person makes a neder that he won't have hanah from people who eat garlic, then it means he's also to have hanah from Jews. And we talk about there whether it means he's also to have hanah from Kusim. Did they accept the takana of Ezra or not? Historically, of course, the Kusim were on the outs with the Jews from the time of Ezra and onward. But still, maybe they found it to be a logical idea and accepted it themselves. So we have different stories over there. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yossi is saying, by the same token, even though there's no mitzvah to eat garlic on Friday night, but nevertheless it's included in this kind of idea that he evidently meant only to ask himself until the time when the takana would be in effect. Which, by the way, the Ran points out, it may be, now Rabbi Yossi is definitely adding on what Rabbi Yehuda, his father, says, not necessarily though would Rabbi Yehuda agree with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda might say that only when you have the four kosis, which is a mitzvah to drink the four kosis and meat before Yom Kippur, which everybody eats meat in order to prepare themselves for the fast, then we would say that an umdana would tell us that he means to only ask himself until then, but not necessarily maybe with the matter of the garlic. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'oim alachaveroi. Koinam shani nanaloch. A person says to somebody else, he says, "Koinam that I won't have hanah from you." Im ein at above v'noitel v'necha kur echad shochitim u'shtei chovei shoyayin. If you don't come and take from me on behalf of your son a kur of wheat or two barrels of wine. So he's saying, in other words, I want you to take this wheat, or I want you to take this wine and use it on behalf of your son. And if you're not willing to, then I am asking myself with a neder to not have hanah from you. So I raise a yachal lahafir as nidrei shaloi api chacham. He'll be able to be matu his neder without even needing to go to be matu neder by a chacham. because he can tell him, because the other person can tell him, look, the only reason you told me that is for my kavod. You wanted to show me honor by giving me this gift. This is my honor. It's a greater honor for me that you offered me this, and I don't need to accept it. Or a different point that the Rosh says is he can say it's a greater honor for me that I can support my son myself, that I don't need you to give me food on behalf of my son. So therefore the neder automatically falls away. We learned this actually earlier in the Masechta. We had on Daf Chof Dalet, we had a discussion on the point. The Mishnah talked over there about something called Nidre Zeruzin, where you make a neder, not so much because you sincerely mean it, but rather just because you're trying to encourage the other person to do things your way. At the beginning of the parak there, we had an example, let's say, where people are bargaining over something in a store. You're offering one price, the seller wants a different price, and each one makes a neder that I won't buy it for more than that, or I won't sell it for less than that. And we said in the end, if they compromise on a price, then the nedarim are not in effect, because we know that the nedarim were only done in order to encourage each other. So we had a discussion earlier in the Masechta on Daf Chof Dalet, mentioning our Mishnah, where the question was, is this kind of thing considered Nidre Zeruzin? So one thing the Gemara mentioned in that connection was that the person who made the neder might say that, look, you know, what do you think, I'm a dog? I should be constantly having hanah from you, and you're not going to have hanah from me. Therefore, I insist on giving you this quart of wheat or these two barrels of wine. You've been doing me so many favors over time. Now I insist that I do something back for you, and if not, then I'm swearing off hanah from you, because I don't want to be that I'm only taking from you and never giving. So therefore, it might be. So we said it might be actually that there's a certain degree of a sincere neder to it. Nevertheless, though, the other person can say that, you know what, a greater honor for me would be if I don't accept it. So after all, we would say then that the neder would no longer be valid. Mm-hmm. That he's able to be matur just by saying that I'll consider it as though I received it because it's a greater covered for me for now. Which, by the way, I mean, the Ritva points out, even though he used the expression for your son, really, fundamentally, we're talking about, I mean, the same thing would be if he's saying for himself. Similarly, the other way around, b'cheina oimer l'chaver, right? The same way Reuven says to Shimon, koinam sha'at nenesli, on the other hand, a koinam that you will no longer have hanav me, im einat above and noisim of me, kur shochitin u'shtechav v'shoyayin, if you don't come and give my son a quart of wheat or two barrels of wine, same idea, but in reverse. He's saying, in other words, yeah, I expect you to provide this for my son, and if you don't, then you are also to have hanav me. Reb Meir Omer also had shiitin. Reb Meir says he's also until he actually gives it. B'chum say no, even in that case, it can be matter without a chacham. Because the one who made the neder can say afterwards, you know what, I'm willing to consider it as though I accept it. Now, you have a number of questions in this, one of them being, are Reb Meir and the chachamim disagreeing in both cases, or only in the second case? They're clearly disagreeing in the second case. Are they also disagreeing in the first case? The Yudan explains that yes, they're disagreeing in both cases. On the other hand, the Rosh learns that no, the mayor would agree in the Reisha, because the one who made the neder is not the one who's saying, I'm willing to be moichel on it. You have Reuven is saying that you will be also to have anah from me, Reuven is saying, I will be also to have anah from you if you don't accept this gift from me. So the other person can say, it's a greater covet for me to not accept the gift. But here in the Sefer, where the same one who's making the neder is also the same one who was saying, can be moichel on it, then Reb Meir would say that wouldn't necessarily work. But according to the Ran, the mayor is actually arguing in both cases. The Gemara also mentions the point over there that you can say the other way around. You can say, what do you think? I'm a king. I'm always having to give you, and I'm never getting anything back from you. So therefore we can say there's maybe a certain sincerity to this neder. It's not only Nidre Zeruzin, because the fact is he's saying, I resent the idea that you're always taking from me and you're never giving me anything. So therefore I demand that you give me, and if not, then you're also an honor for me. But again, afterwards, he can say, you know what, I'm willing to consider it as though I received it. The Ran also mentioned over there that this would only be if his son, he's talking about over here for his son, only if his son is actually depending on him for food. If his son is living independently, then he can't be Mochel on behalf of his son. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. So all of these are all in the Mishnah over here because these are all examples with same thing we said at the beginning of the Mishnah where Rabbi Huda is saying, for example, he says in Neder that I won't drink wine until Ad Sheyehei Pesach, and we assume that he meant only until the Seder night because he wants to be able to drink wine by the Seder. The whole Mishnah is talking about these kinds of things where we use an umdana, where we use an assumption, we use a reasonable assumption about what he actually meant with his Neder. So another example, suppose that people are pleading with him to marry his niece, where there is actually, the Gemara mentions in Yevamos, there is actually when you can do that, when it's an appropriate shidduch, it is a very good thing to do, because that is the closest relative that a person is allowed to marry, apitoda. So therefore, he'll have extra affection for her. It'll make for greater shalom bias, because she's already a relative of his. But he says, I don't want to marry her. Koinam shehi nenes b'lo'olam, a koinam that she will be also to have anah for me forever. V'cheinam agarish es ishtoi, similarly, if a man divorces his wife, oima koinam ishti nenes b'lo'olam, and he says, a koinam that my ex-wife, should never have anah for me. Hareilam utoris v'honis lo'i, in fact, those women will be mutter to have anah from him, shalom iskavenze el l'shum ishus, because we assume that he meant only when he says they shouldn't have anah from me, means they won't be allowed to marry them. They won't be allowed to have marital anah from me. Well then, in that case, other kinds of anah would be mutter. So therefore, again, this is an example of umdana. We assume he didn't mean to make them completely off limits. We assume, given the circumstances of the neder,
umdana.
We use a reasonable assumption to say that he evidently only meant the kind of hanah that they're pleading with him to do, or that he just divorced his wife, meaning hanah having to do with marriage. So in the case of, for example, we divorced his wife, it means he's making a neder that he won't remarry, but not that he should be also to give her other kinds of honor. Similarly, a person says, if one person is pleading with the other one to eat by him, so Shimon is pleading with Reuben to come eat by him, and he's tired of the importuning. Omar, so he says, koinam lebeis chashani nichnas, a koinam that I won't go into your house, keep a son and chan toyamach, or I won't even taste a drop of cold water in your house. So again, hare mutter, the konis lebeis, the malicious memenut sonen, he'll actually be allowed to go into the person's house, and he'll be allowed to drink some cold water, shalani skavenze elo shumachilosh siya, because we can assume that he meant only that he's not going to have an actual meal over there, but not that he won't have an actual soda over there, but not that he should be completely also to go in or to drink even a drop of something. Now, the Mefarish, printed under Rashi's name, says that it is true that he will be also to eat a big meal over there, because that we say he did have in mind, he'll just be mutter to go in and have a drop to drink. On the other hand, the Rosh says he'll be mutter in everything, because the fact is, he didn't actually say the Loshen that I'll be also to eat a big soda by you. And Loshen that he said, that I won't go into the house, that I won't drink Kippah Sonin, was saying is sort of an exaggeration, and therefore he didn't really mean it, and therefore and it wasn't meant to include that at all. The result would be that he'd be mutter in everything. This also we discussed earlier. This is this part of the Mishnah also we discussed earlier in the Masechta in connection with Nidrei Havai, when you have Nidorim that a person makes, where he exaggerates. So here we have an example where a person makes a neder, we're using an exaggerated expression, and we cut it down to size and say that it means only that he's asked himself in a full Suda, but not anything less than that. Okay. Hadron Allah Ponim Yain.